Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word this morning. Join me once again in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, we've been walking our way through the book of John, John's Gospel. And as we said at the very beginning of walking through this book, John has a specific purpose for which he wrote this gospel account under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. John wants everyone who would read this account of Jesus' life and Jesus' ministry to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that by believing they may have life everlasting in His name. That's John's goal. That's the Holy Spirit's goal as we continue to work our way through this book together. And we have been looking over the last number of weeks at various miracles that Jesus performed and what those miracles say about who Jesus is and what He came to do. So this week, we're going to look at John chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, working through the end of the chapter, or verse 59. Jesus walks on water. As we do that, and as you make your way to John chapter 6, I want to just ask you a question. How many of you have ever in your life experienced what I affectionately refer to as the cold water committee? Anybody ever experienced that? Some of you are like, I have no clue what you're talking about. Let me explain this to you. This would be the cold water committee. Your boss calls you in and says, you've been doing a wonderful job at work, and we are going to give you a $5,000 a year raise. Anybody want to claim that this morning, right? Yes, sign me up for that one. So you come out of that meeting, and one of your coworkers says, hey, what did the boss want? Say, well, the boss said, I've been doing a great job. I got a $5,000 a year raise. And the friend says, I got a $7,000 raise. Cold water, right? Just right on your excitement in that moment. Or when you were a little kid and your friend down the street, you were excited about Christmas and the gifts that you were going to get, and your friend comes over and they look at your gifts and they're like, yeah, I got more than that. Cold water committee. We're going to encounter this morning the cold water committee after several of the miracles that Jesus has performed. And as we look at that this morning, I want to encourage us to consider whether we may find ourselves in that position of as God is moving and as God is working, that we're the ones standing on the sideline throwing cold water on what God may be doing. And so let's look this morning, John chapter 6. I want to read the text for us, beginning in verse 16 and walking through verse 59, which means you need to listen fast this morning, all right? That sound good? Here we go. John chapter 6, verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. Now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. And then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I've come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes, that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears, that we would be able to hear, that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit. We ask all of that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. A lot of text to walk through this morning, but we're going to do it, and I hope in a way that will help you begin to better understand all that Jesus is communicating in these verses today. The first thing, if you're taking notes this morning, and there are 7 points, so just prepare. I know there's not a lot of room. Some of y'all are thinking, what? 3, like that's the magic number. 7 this morning, perfect number from heaven, right? So 7 this morning, the first truth, the first thing I want us to see is the miracle. Let's look at the miracle beginning in verse 16, walking down through verse 21. Jesus has just finished feeding at least 5,000 people. That's what we covered last week. Performed the miracle. The people had eaten their fill of the fish and the loaves. They have been satisfied, and there's leftovers as well. And Jesus, right before they're about to make him king in that moment, if you remember, retreats and leaves. And so evening comes and his disciples leave in boats. They're going to cross back over to Capernaum. They are leaving where the crowds were. Jesus is not with them. And the text says that as they begin going, that a great storm comes up as they're on the sea. And now don't forget that some of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. This would not have caught them off guard. It's not something that they would have looked at and said, this is a difficulty. In fact, it wouldn't have been a big deal, except this was a bad storm. They're absolutely terrified. They're scared. They are rowing, and they're not getting anywhere. And they look up, and someone is walking on the water. I don't know about you, but just, if you spend any time on the water, imagine that. You're away from shore. There's nothing close by but water. And all of a sudden, someone is walking towards you. The seas are not calm. In fact, the wind's blowing to a certain degree that they can't even make progress trying to get just a few miles across the sea. The disciples are trying to work their way through, but they can't because of the storm. And here comes someone walking on the water. And they look up like we would. And they were frightened, terrified. Who walks on water? Might as well shut the sermon down right there and go home, right? $5 at the door when you leave today, kid. It is Jesus. Imagine that, right? Jesus is walking on the water to his disciples. The disciples look up. They see him coming. They're terrified until Jesus makes a statement in verse 20. Jesus says, "It is I." That statement that Jesus makes there is very reminiscent of a statement that when God says to Moses, "I want you to go to Pharaoh in the Old Testament and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." Moses says, "Who should I say sent me?" And God says, "Tell the people that I am sent you." That's the same language that's used here. In this moment, Jesus saying to his disciples, "I am is here." Very God in the flesh, the one who has performed miracles up until this point, probably the one that we would look at and say may at this point in time have been the greatest one we've seen so far, if you're going to try to rank miracles by how much impact it has, feeding 5,000 plus people with a small little happy meal. Jesus has just done that, and his disciples see him coming on the water. "It is I," Jesus says. "Do not be afraid." It says in verse 21, "Then they were glad to take him in the boat." Right? They're not making any progress, And Jesus is walking on the water. Why can Jesus walk on water? Because if you remember back to John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, which is Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All of creation is held together by the Word of Christ. Not only does Jesus have control of water, as we saw in his first miracle, not only does Jesus have control of healing someone from a distance in his second miracle, not only in his third miracle do we see Jesus healing a man who has been paralyzed for 38 years. Last week we saw Jesus take just a small amount of food and feed thousands of people with it. And here we see Jesus walking on stormy water. He does that because he is God. And John wants us to know that reality of who Jesus is. The miracle that we see here is Jesus once again demonstrating who he is by walking on water. His disciples are glad he's shown up. They take him into the boat. And if you notice what the text says, they were glad to take him into the boat. And immediately, the boat was at the land where they were going. I mean, you think the miracle is Jesus walking on water, and it is, but how about the fact that as soon as he gets in the boat, they're already on the other side? That's who Jesus is. That's the miracle that we see in the text this morning. But are you ready for the cold water committee? Because they show up in verse 22. So if you're taking notes, here's what I want you to write down. The second thing that we're going to see this morning is what I affectionately refer to as the mess, part one. We've got three parts this morning. Three messes that we're going to encounter, and then three messages that Jesus is going to give. So here's the mess. Verse 22, on the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side, this is the crowd that had eaten what Jesus had provided and the loaves and the fish, the crowd remained on the other side. They saw that there had only been one boat there and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away. And there were other boats that came around, but Jesus wasn't there. So they think, maybe somehow Jesus got to the other side. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, verse 24, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. They want to know where Jesus is. The man who has just fed all of them. They're searching him out. They want to find out where he is. Verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Jesus, looking at this group of people who have made the journey across the sea to find Jesus on the other side, they haven't figured out yet how Jesus got there. They ask him the question, and Jesus doesn't even answer the question. Jesus says, the only reason you're here is because you ate yesterday and you were full. What's the problem with eating yesterday and being full? You're hungry today. Jesus, looking at them, says, all you're interested in is me to do something like what I did yesterday. I mean, because after all, who wants to buy food if someone can just make it, right? If Jesus can just provide the food, then might as well go with him. And Jesus looks, knowing their hearts, and he says, that's all you're interested in, is what I can give you. Let's just pause there and ask that question of ourselves. Why do we want to follow Jesus? Is it for what he can give us? Talked about that several weeks ago. If all we want in following Jesus is what he can give us, we will miss who he is. And who he is greater than what he can give us. And so in this moment, Jesus looks at them, and if you boil it all down, Jesus is saying to them, you're fans of me, but you're not interested in following me. He looks and he says to them, you're seeking me because not because you saw the signs and believed that he's the Son of God, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. So Jesus is taking them and he's saying, listen, you're interested in me because of what I can give you. I want you to recognize who I am. Because if you recognize who I am, it'll change your life. If you're here this morning, let me just say to you, if you can grasp today who Jesus is, it will change your life. That's what Jesus wants them to get. They're struggling. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus had just chastised them and said, you're working for food that perishes. And they say, okay, well, what kind of works do we need to do so that we can get eternal things? What do we need to do? It's the question a lot of people ask. How do I get saved? What do I need to do? What kind of works? Can I just be a good person? Is that enough? And in this moment, Jesus looks at them. And he said to them in verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. They're wondering what they can do. And Jesus says very simply, believe in me. You mean it's that easy? I mean, salvation is available for those who just believe in Jesus and what he's accomplished for us? The answer is yes. That's what Jesus just told them here. Believe in him whom the Father has sent. Verse 30. So they said to him, listen to this. What sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What? See why it's a mess? I mean, Jesus has just told them, believe in me. The Father has sent me. You can have life in my name. Their question, what's the next sign? What you doing next? What are you going to do next? Prove to us who you are. What work do you perform? Verse 31, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they look and they say, listen, you think it's a big deal that you fed us once? The Father fed the Israelites for 40 years. How about that grocery bill? That's what they're thinking in this moment. They're thinking, maybe he'll give us free food for life. Maybe that's what's coming. That's what the Father did in the wilderness. But Jesus in verse 32 said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus said, you're looking for bread that's going to not be any good tomorrow. And yet, I, the bread of life, am here before you. And if you eat of me, you will never be hungry again. Notice their response in verse 34. It's the same response that the woman of Samaria at the well said when Jesus asked her if she wanted water that will last forever. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. I want you to notice the message, part one that Jesus gives in verse 35. Here's the message. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus, looking at them, says, you're looking for the wrong kind of bread. You're looking for bread that eventually is going to go bad. Let me say to you that I am the bread of life. And if you will take the bread of life, you'll never be hungry again. If you're a follower of Jesus here this morning, the reality for us is that we have everything we need to satisfy us for all eternity in Jesus. He is the bread of life. We will never be hungry again spiritually. Verse 36, but I said to you, you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Jesus, looking at them, says, do you not recognize that I am standing before you, sent from my Father as the bread of heaven? And if you will believe in me, you'll have everlasting life. Do you realize that? And he says, no, you don't. I'm standing right in front of you, and you won't believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but I will raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This crowd that Jesus has fed physically, Jesus is trying in this moment to feed them spiritually. Jesus is saying to them in this moment, I'm standing right in front of you. And there's so much more to me than just a little bit of bread. There's so much more to me than just these signs that you've seen. Do you not realize that the very Son of God is standing in front of you? And if you will believe in me, you will have everlasting life. You know, the reality for us this morning is that message hasn't changed. If you're here this morning and you've never taken the step of trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He stands before you in the Word this morning, just like He did before these people, saying, I am the bread of life. Believe in me and receive eternal life. That's Jesus' message. I want you to notice in verse 41, the mess, part two. It's not enough just to have one mess. Here comes the second. So the Jews grumbled about him. What a bunch of knuckleheads, right? I mean, after all that Jesus has done, as we've seen, five miracles that are recorded up until this point in the text, all that Jesus has done, the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, verse 42, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? The Jews are looking at him in this moment and they say, who does he think he is? We know his mom and dad. And here he's going to tell us that he came down from heaven? That he's the bread of life from heaven? Notice Jesus' message to them, part 2, beginning in verse 43. Jesus answered them, Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus, looking at them in this moment, is saying to them, you're not allowing God to work on your heart. They put a wall up. They had insulated themselves. They weren't willing to accept Jesus as the Son of God. And Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Verse 45, it's written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. But this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus says, you're focused in on what Moses did back in the day. But if you'll remember, that bread didn't last forever. I am the bread of life that will last forever. Believe in me. I am the living bread, verse 51, that came down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus is pointing forward to his death on the cross. Here's the mess, part three, beginning in verse 52. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They missed it. Jesus is standing before them saying, I am the bread of life, and they have a problem. It's a theological problem. They were dumb. They wanted to debate theology. Now, how is he going to give us his flesh to eat? Like, that doesn't make sense. What Jesus is saying to them, trying to help them understand, is that he is the bread of life, that if they will believe in him, they will have everlasting life. But instead of them believing in him, they're debating about what he's saying. Jesus explains more in verse 53, the message part 3. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Pastor Scott read it this morning. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus is saying to them in this moment, unless I go to the cross and my body is broken for you and my blood is poured out from you, unless that happens, you can't be forgiven of your sins. But that's where I'm going. Will you believe in me and what I'm about to do? Jesus says in verse 54, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The hope of the gospel, the hope of life transformation, the hope of every believer rests in verse 54, whoever feeds on Jesus' flesh, drinks his blood, has eternal life. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, that is what we are celebrating. Jesus' body broken for us, the bread. Jesus' blood shed for us, the cup. As we take of the bread and as we take of the cup, we are reminded of this truth that Jesus proclaimed. That his body broken for us, his blood shed for us, pays our sin debt. And if we believe in him and what he's done for us, we will have eternal life. Verse 55, for my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Jesus, the bread of life, whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Maybe here this morning, and for you, you've wondered, what does it mean to follow Jesus? I can think of no passage better than this one. For you in this moment to understand and see who Jesus is and what he came to do. Jesus came to this earth to lay his life down for us, for his body to be broken and his blood to be shed so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Church, that is the message that we proclaim. In our community that we live in, that is the message of hope that people need to hear. And if you're here this morning and you've never taken that step, there's no reason why you have to leave this morning without believing that Jesus is the Son of God and have life in his name. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. Our worship team will come up. As we close out our service this morning, we have an opportunity to respond to the Lord. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, let me just ask a simple question. Was there ever a moment in your life when you believed that Jesus is the Son of God, that he took your sins and paid for them on the cross with his life, his body was broken and his blood was shed, and he was raised on the third day, have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation? If you have not, the good news this morning is that you don't have to leave here before doing that. You have the opportunity in this moment, and as we sing in just a little bit, between you and the Lord, to confess to him this morning that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that you know that you are a sinner and that Jesus came to this earth to pay your debt of sin that you owed. He laid his life down, his body was broken and his blood was shed so that you could be forgiven and have a relationship with God. Maybe for you this morning, that's an opportunity for you before the Lord to confess that, to pray that. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a follower of Jesus, and yet as we've encountered in the text this morning, people not recognizing who Jesus is and what he's about. And I'm convinced that for us as followers of Jesus, even after we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior, that there's moments in our life when we respond just like the crowd. We're primarily interested in what we can get from Jesus. Primarily interested in what he can do for us today. And lose sight of who he is and what he's already done. And so maybe for you, this morning is an opportunity to check your heart before the Lord. Do you want Jesus for who he is or what he can do for you? Father, we come to you today and we ask that you would work in our lives. that you would take your word and that you would apply it to the depths of our hearts, that you would expose sin where it's present, Lord, that you would convict us. Lord, that you would help us see who Jesus is, that we would fall more in love with him today. Father, for those who are here that may have never taken that step of trusting in Jesus as their Savior, would you give them the courage today to do just that? Believe in him and receive eternal life. You work in our lives as you already have. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.